Bless you, Lord. Now, Father, I pray this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Grant us, Father. Grant us that place that you are providing in our spirit to have this imparted in us, never, never to be taken, but to be used for your glory this morning. For your word will not return void. And you are faithful to complete what you started. So grant us the wisdom and knowledge and understanding that we may be able to receive this morning your manna that you are providing. And as this comes forth, Father, let it grow for your glory. Let it spread. And let the hearers become doers. In Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit said to me, I was waiting for swords to come down, and I saw a few. Because he shared with me, never stop anymore until you see the swords come down. And then he said to me, and I was going to keep going, and he said, no, I want you to stop. He said, because once this teaching is done, all the swords will be coming down. He said, as the word is going forth, the swords are going to be coming down. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come on, will you all lift your hands and get drunk? Get a drink. Listen, if you're here today, it's something special. I'm glad my wife is here today. Praise God. James chapter 1. Is everybody there? Whew. And verse 2. Oh, we've heard the scriptures many times, but today's going to be different. And James verse 2, would you read it with me? My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Hallelujah. It didn't say you're not going to fall into various trials. It says when you fall into them. It's amazing how people think, oh my God, God's not with me because of the trial I'm in. No. He says when you fall into various trials, I am with you. Hello? He said, now listen, verse 3. Knowing that they are the what? The testing of your faith. Faith. Of your faith produces what? Patience. It says, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. In other words, there is an area of faith where you lack nothing. It's called third dimensional faith. Now listen. He says in verse 5, if any of you lacks wisdom. So do you understand that wisdom is associated now with this faith? Watch. He said, if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. So obviously wisdom, right? Wisdom is which tells you how to appropriate knowledge. Wisdom tells you how to appropriate knowledge. Does everybody understand that? So he says, now listen, if you lack faith, ask for wisdom. Why? Because wisdom is what tells you how to appropriate knowledge. Does everybody get this? Okay, now watch. In verse 6, but let him ask in what? In faith. So in other words, you must be willing to receive. You must be convinced that God has given you wisdom. Does everybody understand that? You must be convinced. There is no doubt or unbelief. You are convinced that He's heard and He will give. But let him ask in faith with no what? Doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways. Yow. See, they lacked wisdom, didn't they? Which tells them how to appropriate knowledge. In other words, how to utilize it. But it must be activated by faith. It is not... Listen. What it says is if faith is not activated, if you're not walking in faith, you are unstable. Hello? If you're not appropriating knowledge, receiving wisdom by faith that is assisting you to appropriate knowledge, you are unstable. Unstable individuals are not walking in faith. Are you with me? Go to 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, glory. Third dimensional faith. Oh, praise you, Lord. Start at verse 1. I believe. Yeah. Hallelujah. How many of y'all want to walk in a faith that pleases God? You know? Yeah. Verse 1, read it with me. Look at this. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. For in this we groan earnestly, desiring to be clothed with our habitation which is from heaven. If indeed having been clothed, we shall not be found naked. For we who are in this tent groan, being burdened, not because we want to be unclothed, but further clothed, that mortality may be swallowed up by life. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is God, who also has given us the Spirit as a guarantee. So we are always what? Confident or convinced. Knowing that while we are at home in this body, we are absent from the Lord. For we what? We what? We walk by faith and not by sight. We are confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. Listen, this is third dimensional faith. Now I'm going to explain this to you. This is where we walk according to. This is faith that walks according to kingdom principles, ethics, and truths. Does everybody get it? Bringing the kingdom of God into the natural realm by maintaining, now this is important, unity. Unity in you and in the body of Christ and the kingdom of God. Wow. We'll go a little further. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. So, we see here that third dimensional faith is that we walk according to the kingdom principles, ethics, and truth, bringing the kingdom of God into the natural realm by maintaining a unity in yourself, the body of Christ, and the kingdom of God. Does everybody get it? See, so faith is so important by maintaining unity. And you'll see why. Ephesians 4. In verse something. Let's see. Glory. In verse 11. Would you read it with me? Ephesians 4:11. For he himself gave some to be apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ till what? We all come to the unity of the faith. Would you highlight that? So that we all come to the unity of the what? The faith. The faith. See, there's a specific faith God is trying to bring his children to. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the what? And the knowledge of the Son of God. Now, here we go again. Wisdom tells knowledge what to do, doesn't it? Amen? So we see here that now faith, this faith that we're talking about, is so important because you are appropriating faith to maintain unity. Now look at, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to a what? Perfect man to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, would you read 16 with me, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effect of working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now listen. So we're not walking by sight, we're walking by faith, aren't we? Okay. This third dimensional faith is walking or living in a faith that brings unity. Does everybody get this? And it's done by knowledge, training, teaching. Amen? This is established faith that unites us. Now listen, this unites us with the mind, the heart, and the will of Christ the King. This unites us with the mind and the will and the heart of Christ the King. There is no longer individuality. There is oneness. There's no longer individuality. There is oneness. See, this faith is a place in the third dimensional faith is what unites us. It brings us to a oneness. There's no longer individualities. Does everybody understand this? In other words, this place of faith is a place where we begin to walk, where the mind, the will, and the heart of Christ is expressed through every member of its body. Where we are all like-minded. Where we are all like-willed. And we are all like purpose and heart. Where everybody is doing their part, but it's because of not individuality, but for the better of the whole body of Christ. Come on, do you get this? This is third dimensional faith. It's no longer about you. It's not about faith in you. It's about faith that unites every single one of us as one specific part of a body. And everybody does its part. But they're doing their part not because of individuality, but because it's unity of the whole body. It's different. It's a different type of faith that we have been brought up in. It's a third dimensional faith, and its purpose is to unify the body as one. Does everybody get this? There is no more individuality. Your personality is no longer associated in this faith. It's his personality. Your character is no longer involved in this third dimensional faith. It's his character. Everything that is associated in this faith has got nothing to do with you. It's got everything to do with unity. Does everybody understand this? Oh, hallelujah. So what happens is we come together, we get knowledge, right? And in the wisdom, the spirit of wisdom is what tells us how to appropriate knowledge, right? But how do we receive knowledge? How do we receive wisdom? By faith. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
See, this is what's so important in this area of faith, where God is bringing his whole body. This was his whole purpose, is that we would be in the fullness and the unity of faith. Of faith. Amen? Does everybody see this? Look, and I want to read this one more time in this area. Go to verse 13. So why are we being equipped? Till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a what? Perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Now go to verse 16. From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by every joint, supplies according to the effect of working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Oh, there is no longer individuality. There is oneness. John 17. Oh, hallelujah. John 17. This is Jesus' prayer. See, there's so much individuality. People are saying they're walking by faith, but they're walking by individuality faith. They're not walking in a unity of faith, which is third dimensional faith, which Christ came to pay the price for. Anybody can do anything. Anybody can operate in a faith in a certain level. But there is an operation, a third dimensional faith, where it releases you from individuality. And it brings you into a place where the mind, the will, and the heart of Christ is expressed, and there is unity. You are doing everything to maintain unity because it's promoting Christ. The mind, the will, and the heart. See, oh man, I'm asking for help to put this in common language. When something gets dropped in me in the morning, it's hard sometimes. But see, I see it. And so when I see it, I've got to be able to put it in language. The Lord brought me back to when I had my encounter with the Lord. And one of the first things that happened to me is individuality left. When I was in his glory, it was. Did you ever see those dots on a little puzzle where the kids draw the line to each other? You know, and they make a dot and they make a picture. Well, when I was in this glory of God and I was being torn, I felt there was no more individuality. It was a oneness. And I became one with every human being on this planet. And I felt pain. I felt sorrow. I felt grief. I felt despair. It was tearing me up because there was a unity. I realized that we were all one. But see, the enemy wants to bring individuality. But in the spirit, we are all one. And I kept saying, Lord, why are you allowing me to feel all this pain? I couldn't understand it. Why are you allowing me to feel this pain? But he wanted me to understand the unity of each and every one, that we are all one. Everyone. And in the body of Christ, there is a oneness that Jesus paid the price for. Look at this and what he prayed in John 17 and verse 9. Would you read it with me? He said, I pray for them. I do not pray for the world, but for those whom you have given me, for they are yours. And all mine are yours, and yours are mine. And I am glorified in them. Glory. Now I am no longer in the world, but these are in the world, and I come to you, Holy Father. Keep them through your name, those whom you have given me, that they may be one as we are. See, only by faith are you one, where individuality is now released. And there's just a oneness. In other words, you're not doing anything anymore for money, for self-promotion. You're not doing anything anymore. Why? Because you are living a life of faith. The purpose is that the mind, the will, and the heart of Christ being manifested in you brings you to a level of faith where you're doing things for the purpose of expanding His kingdom. In other words, you're not doing things because of money. You're not doing things because of fame. You're not doing things because you have to. You're doing things in a level of faith that releases you from individuality and brings unity amongst all of the rest of the members of the body of Christ. It is totally different. And this is an area where God is bringing us. It's called third dimensional faith. It's a faith that its purpose is to maintain unity, no matter what the cost. Are you with me? Come on, let's keep going. And verse 12. While I was with them in the world, I kept them in your name. Those whom you gave me, I have kept, and none of them is lost except the son of perdition, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I come to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. I have given them your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. I did not pray that you should take them out of the world, but that you should keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, just as I am not of the world. Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth. As you sent me into the world, I also send them into the world. And for their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they also may be sanctified by the truth. See, this is a oneness where Jesus was sanctified, so we're sanctified. His whole purpose is that we would be one with Him. That's everything, that we would be one with Him. Does everybody understand that? Jesus prays for oneness that can only be established by an active faith. It's a faith that is active, not passive. Amen? Again, you accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by act of faith. You surrendered your life to Christ by act of faith. When you got baptized in the Holy Spirit, you activated your faith. And you said, Lord, your word says that anyone who would ask to be filled with your Spirit and baptized, you would do it. See, but there's a place where there is faith that is activated, and sometimes there needs to be assistance, isn't there? That's why we come in fellowship. Why? Because we want to maintain a specific level of faith. That's why we worship the Lord. Why? Because you're maintaining a specific level of faith. See, unless you are fed the Word, unless you are... That's why He said, you know, the greatest thing about communion. He said, he who eats of my flesh and drinks of my blood shall have eternal life, right? But in this communion, we are being fed the Word of God, and we are being filled with the Spirit of God, which is allowing us to have communion and become one with Him. See, but if you don't worship, and if you don't get fed, it's difficult to walk in a level of faith. That's why the enemy always tries to move individuals out of fellowship. Because there's a specific area of the anointing. The Bible tells us in Psalm 133, it is good for brethren to dwell in what? Unity. In unity. Why? That we may be like-minded, will-minded, heart-minded. There is a level of faith in a third dimension where individuality is severed And the only thing that maintains is that the whole collective of the body of Christ and every member in oneness with Him. That's it. You're doing things now, not for you, but you're doing them for Him. Does everybody get it? Oh, glory to God. Shubaruba kasia. Ephesians 2. Hallelujah. No longer individuality, but unity by faith. That's why the Bible tells us that in Timothy in chapter 4, he says, many will fall from the faith. What faith is he talking about? Unity, isn't it? Why? Because fear produces and promotes individuality. Oh, hallelujah. We'll get there. Where did I say to go? Okay. Ephesians 2. Oh, glory. You know, does everybody understand now that when the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:17, he who is in Christ is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away and all things have become new. Why? Because in the unity of this faith, this level of faith, everything is new. There's no more old. Everything is new. In Ephesians 2, in verse 14. Is everybody there? Can we read this together? For he himself is our peace, who has made what? Both one. And has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is, the law of commandments contained in ordinance, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace. So we're the new man. In him. And that he might reconcile them both to God in one body, through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near. For through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. Now that's powerful. Create in himself one new man. We are members of the new man by maintaining a faith that separates us from worldly influence. Doing our part as one collective body and not an individuality. Does everybody get it? So you're no longer doing it for you. You're doing it for the body of Christ. That's where the Bible says many are called, chosen, and what? Faithful. What is faithful? Individuals full of faith. Those are individuals full of faith. If you're not faithful, you're not full of faith. Does everybody get it? So if you can't depend on someone, that person ain't full of faith. Does everybody get this? It's so important. Why? Because there's a third dimensional faith that God is going to begin to pour out. And he's causing us to come into this unity where the unity is so important in the members. Because we are the body of Christ now. We are not individual members anymore. We are one. Glory. Many called, chosen, faithful. Those full of faith. That's why Jesus said, deny yourself. Those who are full of faith are always denying self and promoting unity. They do not promote individuality. They promote unity. Amen? Go to Revelation 2. Glory. Revelation chapter 2. I pray you're getting this today. Thank you, Lord. In Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10. Glory. Are you ready? Come on, let's read it together. Do not what?
Fear.
Do not what?
Fear.
Do not what?
Fear.
Fear. Do not fear any of these things which you're about to suffer. Indeed, the devil is about to throw some of you into trials and tribulations. That you may be what? Tested. And you will have tribulation 10 days. Be what? Be what? Full of faith. Until death. And I will give you the what? The crown of life. He who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the churches. He who overcomes shall not be hurt by the second death. So he sees some. He says, don't fear. Why? Fear is associated with self. The only reason why there's fear is because self. But if you're walking in faith, you have dominion over fear. Because you're not associated with self anymore. Does everybody get this? Fear is associated. Be faithful, full of faith until death, and receive the crown of glory, or the crown of life. See, fear promotes individuality. Does everybody get it? Now, we know self is protected by pride, right? Pride is protected by fear. Fear is protected by anger. All of these have association with individuality. And the devil wants to promote individuality. Me, myself, and I. But the faith that God is bringing us to, because this is what he prayed, that we would be one with him as he is one with the Father. So what did he say? I don't do anything unless I see the Father do it first. What was his whole purpose? It was to maintain unity. With who? The Father. That was his whole purpose. The one thing he would never let happen is that unity would be broke between him and the Father. Jesus never promoted individuality. Never. Because he walked in a third dimensional faith. Anytime there's a promotion of individuality, I did this, me, myself, and I, in any of those areas. Any promotion of individuality is always association with fear. Fear. And fear is a protector of self. And it puts division. And promotes strife. Competition. That's not faith. Faith has nothing to do with individuality. It has to do with maintaining unity of the body of Christ and with your Lord and Father. Amen. 2 Thessalonians 1. Glory. Second Thessalonians chapter 1. Is everybody there? Good. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Start at verse 3, please. Would you read it with me? 3 to 8. We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because you're what? Your faith what? Grows what? Ooh. Your faith does what? Grows exceedingly. In other words, they are reaching a level that is pleasing to God. And the love of every one of you all abounds toward each other. See, when there is a level of faith that is reached, love is expressed. Love is a fruit of faith also. Amen? Now we know that faith is a fruit of the Spirit. And love is a fruit of faith. In verse 4, so that we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your what? Patience and faith and all your what? persecutions and tribulations that you what? Endure, which is manifested. Why? Because they operated, responded according to faith to maintain a unity, not individuality. They did not respond according to worldly traditions. They responded in a faith that maintained a unity all the way through. Why? They had to endure, didn't they? It says, for your patience and faith in your persecutions and tribulations that you what? Endure. Which is manifest evidence. Which is the what? Manifest evidence of the righteous judgment of God, that you may be counted what? Worthy of the kingdom of God, for which you also suffer. Since it is a righteous thing with God to repay with all tribulation those who what? Trouble you. And to give you who are troubled what? Rest. Oh, there is a rest in that place. With us, when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven and his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wow. So we see here that there is a place of growing in faith, where love is now the fruit of faith, where there is a rest, where we endure, not looking in the natural, but walking by faith. In every area. Third dimensional faith, its whole function and purpose is to maintain unity and disqualify individuality. Matthew 6. Hallelujah. In verse 30. 6:30, Matthew 6:30. It says, now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of what? Little faith. He's going to start telling us about levels. O you little faith, you can't believe that God can't supply your needs according to his riches and glory? You little faith. This is Jesus speaking, little faith. Of course, we'd probably be saying something different. But little faith. Therefore, do not what? Worry, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, in other words, those associated with worldliness, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. What's your problem, bonehead? Little flesh creature, little faith. Hello? But seek first the kingdom of God. Well, what are you doing? Seeking the kingdom of God. Well, you know what? That's why it's important to have fellowship. Are you seeking the kingdom of God? Yes. Does somebody get this? You're seeking the kingdom of God. There is a unity. There is not individuality. There is unity. That's what Jesus said, and the Bible tells us that when they all got baptized, they were with one. One accord, and God moved. He didn't move because of one person. He moved because there was one accord. Hallelujah. Little faith. Go to Matthew 9. Verse 22. Verse 22. But Jesus turned around, and when he saw her, said, be of good cheer, daughter. You're what? Faith has made you well. And the woman was made well from that hour. Wow. So he went from little faith to faith. And by just faith alone in this, the person got healed. Amen. Oh, glory. So we see that there's little faith, and we just went to faith. Let's go to Matthew 8. Matthew 8:10. Glory. Let's start at verse 5. And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, Lord, my servant is lying at home, paralyzed, dreadfully tormented. And Jesus said to him, I will come and heal him. Now, this is powerful. Here, Jesus said, okay, I'll come and heal him. It's like, whoa, great, all right, cool. Yeah, come on, hurry up. Get on my back, I'll carry you. You know? And the centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof. But see, Jesus found it worthy to come under your roof now. Hello? But only speak a word and my servant will be healed. Oh, man. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say this, and one go, and he does, and he goes, and another come, and he comes, and to my servant do this, and he does it. And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. Wow. I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom of heaven will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you. And his servant was healed that same hour. That's called great faith. One of the things that he did is he denied his individuality. He said, you know what? I'm not worthy to have you come. Yes, I'm a man of authority according to the natural realm. I have power and authority. I say to this person, do that, and whatever. But I'm not worthy to have you come. But I know this, that if whatever you speak will happen. Amen? And Jesus said, what great faith. Here is a man who is a heathen who believes that whatever Jesus says is going to happen. What great faith. But the one thing that he did is he denied his individuality right before the Lord. Do you understand that? He denied his individuality and Jesus moved without moving. Glory. Romans 10. I love when he moves without moving. Yes. Romans 10. Hallelujah. Whew. Romans 10. Yes. Romans 10. Thank you, Lord. Shubaroboku fraboku sashanda kasia. Hallelujah. And verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? How shall they believe in him whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the end of the world. But I say, did Isaiah not know? First Moses says, I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation, and I will move you to anger by a foolish nation. But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel, he says, all day long I have stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. In other words, because they were so individualized. See, faith comes by what? Hearing. How many of you know how God speaks to you? Amen? Do you know that when He speaks to you, and we've talked about this before, that there's one speaker in you, so He's going to speak to you in your voice, isn't He? Amen? God's not going to come to you and say, hello. This is God. And the devil's not going to come to you, hello, I'm the devil. You have one speaker in you. You have one voice. Faith comes by what?
Hearing.
Hearing and hearing the what?
Word of God.
So you're hearing the Word of God today. Aren't you? So your faith is going to be increased. The principalities are going to be disarmed by your faith. Because your function and purpose now is to maintain unity and sever individuality. It's no longer about you anymore. Hello? Oh, Lord, but it's not but ministry anymore either. Remember, you're the head, not the tail. See, walking by faith, not by sight, is totally different. This is where circumstances are stepping stones. Like on water, you find a stone to step on so you don't fall in. Circumstances are stepping stones. Okay, cool. I'm going to step on that one and step on that one and step on that one. And you're constantly stepping on them by faith. See, individuality will fear, will be afraid to step. It's no longer individuality, it's unity. Amen? Oh, glory. Go to Romans 1. Decisions are made by faith, unity, not by individuality. What did I say to go? Romans 1? Okay. We'll go there. Verse 16. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who what? Believes. For the Jew first and also for the Greek. For in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith as it is written, the just live by faith. Wow. So we're to what? Live by faith. We are to live in a dimension where individuality is no longer the focus. 1 Corinthians 15. So in this, your faith is increasing, isn't it? Did you ever notice that when God does something, your faith increases? Wow. See, the thing is, we miss the little things that God is already doing. Because we got caught up in individuality. See, but if you're caught up in unity in the body of Christ, you'll see that God is doing a tremendous amount of things. And your faith has now increased more. Because you're not just looking at you. You're looking at everything else. You're not looking at people as individuals. You're looking at them as all a member of the body of Christ. And a specific function and purpose. One can't do it without the other. Amen? 1 Corinthians 15. Did I say go there? Is everybody there? Okay, I'll be right there. 1 Corinthians 15. And something. Let's see here. Ooh, good one. 1 Corinthians 15. And verse 57. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be what?
Steadfast.
Steadfast faith, man. We must maintain a steadfast faith. Why? Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. We must be steadfast, not swayed. Not swayed by circumstances. Not swayed by needs. Not swayed by desires. But know that He is faithful to complete what He has started. Know that He does exceedingly abundantly all above that you can ask or think. There is a faith that God's bringing us to. Every decision is associated not by individuality, but by the purpose and the function and the collective of the whole body of Christ. Does everybody understand that? Good. Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Hallelujah. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is what? Is love. Joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ, they have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another. Right? Hallelujah. So we see here in this area of faith, in this third dimensional faith, love is expressed. Right? Why? Because individually is the opposite of all of these things. We just, look at it, if you go back up, it talks about the works of the flesh. That's all individuality. Adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, nudity, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contention, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and alike. Those are all associated with individuality, not unity. Amen? Glory to God. So, we want to be steadfast. See, this is where you better check your own fruit out. What's your fruit like? Amen? Are you fruity? I didn't say granola. Nutty and fruity. I said, are you fruity? Amen? Praise God. James 4. James chapter 4. Thank you, Master. Is everybody there? Verse 7. Four, seven. Would you read it with me? Therefore what? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Now isn't that interesting? So if you submit to God, you cannot submit to God without faith. Faith never looks within oneself. It looks beyond oneself. Amen? But what about me? I got a three-letter word for you. Die. That faith can live. Amen? Faith is. Let me tell you what faith is. See, one of the things that he said, submit to God, resist the devil, and he'll flee from you. People think, okay, I'm just going to submit to God here. You're right. The problem is people really don't submit to God. Because they're not submitting in faith. Let me tell you what faith is. It's trust. I'm submitting to God. I'm seeking the kingdom of God. I'm going to do my own will. First, I'm going to go to the Lord. I'm going to pray about it. I'm not going to wait for an answer. I'm just going to go do it. That's not faith. That's individuality. and you cause division in yourself and strife. That's not the faith God is looking for anymore. He's put up with the little faith, but he's looking for third dimensional faith. Well, the function and purpose is to maintain unity and not individuality. Faith is trust. Faith is belief. You do not have to be convinced you are. Hello? I'm convinced. I'm convinced. Faith is confidence. Faith is a witness, isn't it? Faith is dependence on Him, not independence. Faith is obedience, not disobedience. Faith is love, not selfishness. Amen? Faith is oneness and unity. Now, the opposite of faith is fear. Fear mistrusts, is insecure, unbelieves, is independent, disobedient, jealousy, selfish. Does everybody get it? The opposite of faith is what? Fear. Glory to God. You know, in 1 Corinthians 12, 8 and 9, I'm not going there. You can write it down. There's the gift of faith. And that's when God gives that gift of faith that pops right up out of nowhere. But there's a difference. There's an area where you and I should be walking in third dimensional faith, which is coincide with the gift of faith as needed. Bam, 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 bam. Circumstance comes around. Nope. You're not reacting now on your individuality. You're reacting, you're responding to the unity of who? The mind, the will, and the heart of Christ. It's a third dimensional faith. It's no longer you that lives, but Him. Hebrews 11. Glory. Hebrews 11 and then one scripture and then die, I guess. Sure got hot in here. Is it cooking in here or is it you? Praise God. Hebrews 11. And verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for. He is the substance. Does everybody get it? The evidence of things not seen. Glory. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith Enoch was taken away, so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. See, faith is always associated with testimony. There's always a test. But without faith is what? Impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently what? Seek him. Like I said, you believe when you got saved, right? That was little faith, wasn't it? Then you got to start activating faith. In other words, you must be a doer and not just a hearer. Amen? I mean, everybody's going to sit here and go, yeah, 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 okay. I got it, yeah. God will test you. Find out if you're really walking in faith or individuality. And I'm going to close at Luke 12. Third dimensional faith. Praise you, Lord. No more decisions by individuality, but by faith. And I didn't say assumption. God says, test all things, not do them. Hello? Test them, not do them. Don't challenge the Lord. He'll challenge you right back. Lord 12. Glory to God. We need to put another chapter in here. First Lord, chapter 2. Lord 12, verse 42. Luke 12. Luke 12. Glory to God. Verse 42. Would you read it with me? And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward? Now, wait a minute. We just go back to that. Remember, we just talked faithful means full of faith. Amen? He says, listen, if you don't have faith, what did he say? Ask for what? Wisdom. Hello? Why? Because wisdom tells you what to do with knowledge. Oh. He said, really, man, you have faith? Show me your faith by your works. Let me see. Faith is not passive. It's what? Active. It's how you respond. You respond to individuality. You respond in fear. You respond according to the mind, will, and heart of Christ. You're responding in faith. There's no buts. And the Lord said, who then is that faithful and wise steward whom his master will make ruler over his household and give them their portion of food in what? Due season. Blessed is that servant whom his master will find so doing when he comes. Truly I say to you that he will make him ruler over all that he has. See, because he owns it all. His desire is to allow you to have rule over everything he owns. But it cannot be done by individuality. It is done in unity with him, which is faith. Amen? And faith trusts. Faith submits. Faith obeys. Faith surrenders. Faith. Faith expresses love. Faith is not anger or hatred or jealousy. Faith. Third dimensional faith. It's no longer you, but him. It's each and every other person, every other member. They're no longer persons. Does everybody understand that? It's no longer a person in the body of Christ. It's a member. Hello? Because it's not individual. It's unity. Everybody does their share as a member of the body of Christ, not as a person in the body of Christ. Faith. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord, and we are honored and blessed. We love you, we exalt you, we worship you, and we honor you. We commit all things to you, and we ask for your forgiveness in every area where we have not walked in faith, nor made decisions according to faith. Lord, where we've made them according to selfish ambitions in any way whatsoever. Lord, we ask for your forgiveness, please. Please prepare our hearts to have communion with you as we surrender all to you. Thank you for the blood. Thank you for your word. And let this word grow and bear fruit for your glory. Let the quickening of this word and the seed that was planted bear fruit associating with third dimensional faith that pleases you, in Jesus' name.